This is Attention to One on Beyond the Airwaves, the Infinity Project.
Good evening, everybody. It is Wednesday night, a.k.a. Hump Day, at Beyond the Airwaves, the Infinity Project. We are now in the middle of the week. That means it's all downhill from here. Anyway, since it is Wednesday, this is Attention to One night, and tonight we've got a I think it's an important topic to talk about, the diabetic dilemma, because some people have to choose between life-saving insulin or putting food on the table. Well, anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. But anyway, I'm your host for tonight. I am Oddball Extreme. I'm currently joined on the line by two of my crazy cohorts. First, we have Red Ranger Tim. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, my dear.
We also have our AZ Magician on the line. Good evening to you, my dear.
Hola, mi amigos.
And we have our special guest on with us tonight. This is Elizabeth Kistler. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome, because what this all started with was her cosplay at Dragon Con. Because I saw the pictures like, that is one impressive costume. Then her sign said, insulin or death. And then on the other side of the sign, it said, this costume cost $5,500 to make. Now, it wasn't, you know, like $5,500 for the whole outfit, but it's like $5,500 using some of the used stuff that you had, right?
Yes, correct. Yes. That $5,500 was a mix of, I'm a type 1 diabetic, so I'm on an insulin pump. So it was a mix of my insulin pump supplies, but I guess the most important thing that was on it, and the most expensive piece that was on that cosplay, was my insulin vial bottles. And those were $289 a piece.
How often does one bottle last you? How many shots?
Well, let's see. I'm on a pump now, so that's really hard. I'm trying to think of bolusing. We bolus. Diabetics take boluses like when we eat carbs, or if our blood sugar is too high. So it would vary month to month, but usually I go through a vial and a half a month. If it's Christmas time, I'm eating a lot of cookies. I might go through two.
Yeah, that can't be helped, unfortunately.
I had a friend. We have a family friend. He's off. He used to do 7 shots of insulin a day. Seven shots.
He doesn't do it anymore.
So he doesn't have to anymore. So
yeah,
that helped.
Well, as a type 1, unfortunately, us type 1s have to have insulin. If we don't have insulin, we die. So it's one of those things where I kind of have to have it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your situation can't be helped. You see, I have type 2, but you see, the deal is mine is low enough that I don't have to do insulin. Thank God, because the way that price keeps going up, it's like I'm going to do everything I can to not just try not to have to have it.
Well, you know what? Unfortunately, if it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
You know, if it happens. But could I ask you kind of a personal question? How long have you been a diabetic, Elizabeth?
Let's see. I was diagnosed in 2004. Oh, my goodness. We're going to have to do math, aren't we?
15 years.
I've had about 17 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere around there. So, I was, does not run in my family, oddly enough, that we know of. I just was in high school. Well, I guess I was in high school and passed out at school.
I got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes on my brother's birthday on January 26, 2012. But like I said, it's low enough. I mean, it was enough to be detected as diabetes, but thankfully it's not crazy high numbers, because my numbers average about, when I check every morning, they average to be between 102 to 124. That's been the highest one when I'm fasting in the morning. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
Okay.
No, that's...
Yeah, but you see, I have it on both sides of my family. So, so when the doctor diagnosed me, I didn't get upset or cry or get angry because, like, well, it runs on both sides of the family. It just caught up with me.
I got tested for diabetes a long time ago, and I was borderline. But I lost weight, so it helped.
Yeah.
But
it depends on the situation. Type 1 diabetes, no matter how good in shape you are, there's no choice.
Uh-huh.
Because if you look at that cosplay, she looks like she's in fantastic shape, but she's got it, so...
Elizabeth, do you have a picture of your cosplay on your on your Facebook page?
I do, actually, and I believe Shirley has access on our Diabetics at Dragon Con page.
Yes, I do. Let me just get
to
it.
You can share the picture with me later, Shirley.
Okay. But, yeah, you know, the reason why we're doing this episode tonight, I've heard this story. I saw it on the news like a couple weeks before Dragon Con where people were trying to decide do they want the insulin or do they want to get food on the table? And, you know, there have been cases where they have rationed insulin and people have died as a result of doing that.
That is sad. I know we're talking about the insulin, but it's not just insulin. It's any of the higher priced drugs.
That's true.
It's with any of the higher priced drugs, you know. It's a commercial for GoodRx. This woman walks in with her son, and she hands the pharmacist the prescription, and her prescription is $69. She turns to walk away because she couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
But insulin, you know, any drug. And why do they keep jacking the prices up? That's what I
because
I
mostly,
know.
I think what it is something I read somewhere. Like the pharmaceutical companies are like, oh no, we can charge however we see fit. We don't care about the people. It's like,
yeah, they only care about the profits. They don't care about the people.
Yeah, big pharma.
Because they're gonna say it's your responsibility to make sure you have the medicine you need. And a lot of the pharmaceutical companies generally have more or less a monopoly on the playing field. You might have half a dozen companies making one medicine, but the availability of each of those brands might differ. One might be available everywhere, while the others might only be available here and there, hit and miss. And whether you like it or not, like Elizabeth said, a type 1 diabetic must have insulin or they're going to die.
Right.
And that puts you in the do or die. Now, I too am a diabetic. I'm a type 2 just like Shirley is. I take only a very minuscule amount of insulin, like 50 units a day. My numbers are averaging between usually 140 and 230, depending on what I've eaten and how active I've been. I don't have to take a whole lot of insulin. But if these companies want to say, well, we can put whatever price we want on it, then either you pay it or you die, and that's a problem. I almost feel like there's no regulation. I remember, when my mother, well, before she passed away 8 years ago, she, on a couple of different occasions that I can remember, was in a position where she could either buy the insulin that she needs, because diabetes is on both sides of my family, or she could put food on the table for both of us. And that's not right. That's why I see people, like, what's his name, Martin Shkreli or whatever his name is?
Yeah, Martin Shkreli.
Shkreli.
Who's that, Shirley? Who's Martin Shkreli?
He was the guy who, what was it, he raised the price of a drug like 5,000%.
Oh, yeah. Pissed a lot of people off, too.
Oh, yeah.
Just because he could.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't care that people couldn't afford the medicine that needed it.
Yeah.
Now I don't have to worry about mine. I'm on state Medicare. My Medicare pays 100% for my medicine, so I don't have to worry about the cost of insulin. That doesn't mean that I approve of people like Elizabeth having to pay $200-$300 a bottle for this stuff just to survive. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Me too.
I think we all agree on that, no matter which side of the aisle you're on.
Right.
Because it's like, you know, the price of, you know, it's not just the diabetic medicine either. All these medicines, all these medications that people need, it's like the pharmaceutical companies just love to jack up the prices because they can.
Well, as an example for me, when I was diagnosed, I guess 2004, it was about $80 to $90 a vial of insulin. And like I said, today I pay $289, and it hasn't changed. The formula hasn't changed.
Oh, boy. That's ridiculous. That is terrible.
So that, and I mean, I do the math because I recently got married. My anniversary is coming up this weekend. And,
happy anniversary early.
Happy anniversary.
Yay, thank you. My husband has decent insurance. But, you know, I still pay $5,500 out of pocket for my insulin,
yeah.
Usually at the beginning
mm-hmm.
of the year. But, you know, people who aren't insured, who are on Novolog insulin like me, the average is almost $8,000 a year. I mean, that's a down payment.
You don't even get a donut hole?
No donuts.
No donut hole is when you reach the cap on your insurance and don't have to pay for anything anymore. Folks hit their donut hole.
Yeah.
I should have explained what a donut hole was.
I was thinking donuts and got very excited.
You're not the only one.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Guess
what? Guess what, Elizabeth? I have a problem. I am a gluten and dairy intolerant. So guess what? Donuts are out.
Oh. Oh, that's sad. Oh, that hurts.
Yeah.
Oh.
No more donuts.
Oh,
let's see. There's a lot of things now I cannot have. So it's like, but the good news is
can't have
intolerance. Yeah, because most of it is milk chocolate. So no more Kit Kats, no more what is it? Kit Kats, Twinkies. I mean, there's so much stuff. It's like, God, I miss it. But it's like, you know, it's a small price to pay. Because I'll tell you something. I did not realize what was going on until I think I was trying to eat some of the Great American Chocolate Chip Cookie Company. You know, they have those cookie slices. I would try to eat one of the small cookie slices, and I couldn't finish it because I started feeling funny in the stomach. So last year I took a food allergy test, which, by the way, was about $350. No insurance covers a food allergy test at all. So I took that and discovered I have a problem with everything gluten and dairy. I can't have cow's milk, or I can't even have lactate. I can't even have casein, so I can't have lactate.
Oh, my.
No pineapple, no cranberry, no bananas, no vanilla.
Oh, horror.
So it's like, oh, crap. Yeah, but it's like, well, I'm learning to live with it. Let's see. And by the way, Einstein and Sajo are both in the chat room, so.
A couple more of our participants.
Yeah, they're regulars in the chat room, so. Yeah, but you know, in any case, I feel like it's gotten so far out of hand that everybody just all these pharmaceuticals, it's like they don't care. It's like you don't want it.
All they care about is profits. All they care about is their freaking bottom line, which is their fucking profits.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I found something that was published on June 10th of this year. It's from the AJMC. And it's called The Deadly Cost of Insulin. So if you give me a chance, I'm going to put this into the BTA chat room. And Elizabeth, I'm going to put the link into your messenger window as well. So you'll be able to see it.
Elizabeth, how do you spell your last name?
It's Kistler, Kistler.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you a friend request.
I'll send you one in a little bit as well.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, this was published June 10th this year, And this is how it goes. In an era when healthcare is extremely expensive, there are many opinions on how involved our federal government should be in bringing drug prices down. However, there is one particular drug pricing crisis that many can agree needs to be addressed sooner rather than later, the insulin crisis. For decades now, insulin prices have been soaring to new heights, heights that the founders and creators of the drug, Frederick Banting and Charles H. Best, likely never imagined would be reached. Now, I usually don't mention politics, but this is in here. In his run for the presidency, President Donald Trump campaigned on the promise to lower the cost of overpriced prescription drugs. Since taking up his position in the Oval Office, Trump has been working to negotiate pricing with big-name pharmaceutical companies. Some of these companies have compromised under pressure and have agreed to lower drug costs. Unfortunately, insulin is not one of the drugs that has seen any significant price reduction yet. That's not to say that few insulin manufacturers and insurance carriers haven't done their part by inching towards lowered insulin costs. Cigna's pharmacy benefit manager, Express Scripts, recently announced they will help nearly 700,000 patients with diabetes by lowering their insulin costs to $25. Sanofi, one of the dominating insulin manufacturers of the world, also has plans to engineer a similar program called Insulin's Value, that's V-A-L-Y-O-U, savings program that supposedly will bring insulin costs down from $347 per month to just $99 per month. These proposals and others like them are coming about simply because the price of insulin doesn't make sense logically, financially, or morally. Now, painting the bigger picture, the fact that only 700,000 patients will be affected by Cigna's lowered insulin costs is astonishing when you look at the big picture. According to the CDC, over 30 million Americans suffer from diabetes. I have a feeling it's a lot more than that. That means Cigna's proposal will help a whopping 2.3% of patients with diabetes. What about the other 29.3 million patients who are paying anywhere from $300 to $800 plus a month for their necessary insulin? Back in 1996, when Eli Lilly's Humalog first came out, the price for a one-month supply of insulin was just $21. As of 2001, that exact vial's price increased by $14 to $35. Now in 2019, that vial is said to be around $275. That is a 1,200% increase on the original price. Since 1996, the value of the dollar has only decreased by roughly 62%. So why has the price of insulin increased so much over the years? The world may never know, since pharmaceutical companies continue to hold their tongue when asked about it. However, as of March 2019, Lilly has launched a generic version of Humalog, insulin Lispro. One vial of this generic insulin is half the price of its brand name alternative. It seems that Eli Lilly is moving in the right direction as far as adding more generics to the list of available insulins. Now, not to take away from this, my mother cannot do generics at all. She has to have the brand name. Now, she also has type 2 diabetes, but she's doing so well, she doesn't do insulin either. But, you know, something she has to do, she has to have the brand name. She cannot do generic. But she's covered by Medicare. But anyway, how does this affect Medicare beneficiaries? Although the current proposed plans by Cigna and Sanofi won't affect Medicare beneficiaries, perhaps the additions of generic options will. As of right now, there are few generic insulin options, and Medicare Part D plans are not required to offer them all. Many beneficiaries find that they are able to afford their insulin costs through their Medicare Part D plans until they reach the donut hole. In the Medicare Part D donut hole, technically called the coverage gap, beneficiaries pay a percentage of drug costs, 25% for brand name and 37% for generics. Because most insulins available today are brand name drugs, 25% of the total drug cost will likely be what a Medicare beneficiary pays in the donut hole in 2019. Sorry, I keep bringing that up. Many beneficiaries,
well, it's part of the article. Never mind.
Right.
Do it.
Many beneficiaries admit to ordering insulin from Canadian pharmacies where the pricing is more manageable. To put it bluntly, the same vial of Humalog that costs nearly $300 here costs $32 in Canada.
It's kind of like the dental work.
Mm-hmm.
It's so high here.
Right.
People here go down to Algodones, Mexico to get their dental work and their eyeglasses.
Yeah.
And it's like, hello? It's
huge
so much
difference.
More reasonable.
Right.
Not this pair of glasses I'm wearing now, but my last pair of glasses I had, the one the dogs made me break, would have cost about over $600 here in the States. I got them for under $300 down in El Donut. So I don't blame the people on Medicare for going to Canada if it helps them.
Right. And see, since older Americans suffer the most from diabetes, Medicare beneficiaries should have an easier time accessing less expensive insulin options. Now, for the reality of insulin costs, it goes like this. Due to the bankrupting effects of insulin costs, many people feel forced to ration their monthly prescriptions. Many stories have been published about people who do this and later suffer the ultimate sacrifice, death. Let's look at Alec Rashawn Smith's story, which has been widely covered by the media. I believe this is the story I saw on NBC News. Smith was a young man who was diagnosed with diabetes at age 24 and died at age 26 when trying to ration his expensive insulin. Smith worked as a manager at a local restaurant. His position didn't allow the luxury of an employer health plan. Once he received his surprising diagnosis of type 1 diabetes, he quickly started researching insurance plans. What he found was devastating. For plans that his doctors accepted, he was looking at a potential $450 monthly premium. That alone was more than what he was paying out of pocket for his diabetes supplies at the time. As the need for supplies and insulin grew, Alec found himself spending more than $1,000 per month to manage his disease when his salary was just shy of $3,000 per month. Faced with this nearly impossible task, he administered less insulin than he truly needed. Shortly after, his family was burdened with the death of a son and a brother. And let's see, Megan Carter, USA Today shares Megan Carter's story, which is also compelling. As a nurse who was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, Carter knew how to manage her disease. However, she too lost her life due to rationing her insulin. Carter had a diabetes kit full of supplies laying near her when she was found in her Ohio apartment. Within the kit, there were two of her preferred insulin vials drained to the last drop and a partial vial of Walmart's insulin, which may have been less effective for her. Stories similar to these continue to circulate the World Wide Web. However, there are also success stories about people who have been lucky to obtain help with insulin costs. One woman, after tweeting about her $524 bill for two of her daughter's insulin vials, received $8,000 in a GoFundMe campaign from fellow tweeters. We can give kudos to Eli Lilly's company, for it has started a helpline called the Lilly Diabetes Solution Center to help people with paying for their insulin. The center provides information on ways to afford insulin and helps people with coupons to reduce the cost of their expensive insulin. One hashtag insulin for all activist, Michelle Fenner, reported that she received a coupon from the Helpful Hot Helpline that brought her son's monthly insulin cost down to $95 from the enormous $900 that it was. And let's see, and at the end here, if we don't put an end to unnecessarily high insulin costs, many more people will lose the fight against diabetes. The fact that some manufacturers have begun to apply changes to the system shows that there may be a light at the end of the tunnel. No matter who sits in the White House after the 2020 election, the crisis that is insulin costs should be acknowledged and fixed as soon as possible. Which is so true. And even states are looking into this because, Elizabeth, you were telling me about the state of Colorado. They passed a law where it's capped at $100 per month. It's good for those who have insurance, but not good for those who are uninsured.
Yep, correct. It's a start. I think it's a good start on what we, you know, what we can do, but something really needs to be changed.
Yeah.
For sure. And the only way that I know of, and other diabetics and people I have talked to through this journey I've gone being an activist of this, is writing to our congressmen, our senators, voting. Mm-hmm. It's becoming a hot button issue. And I honestly think this election, it's going to be brought up. So
you're probably right.
So,
let's face
sure.
it, I mean, next year is a huge election year, so.
So, yeah.
So, you know, hopefully somebody does bring it up.
Well, and you know, there's a bunch of websites. The one that is on my cosplay that I put out there because it's a petition is stand up for affordable or makeinsulinaffordable.org.
Mm-hmm.
And people can sign, you can sign the petition there. I put that on my website. I found some others. Actually, the article you just listed had a really good one, Insulin for All. That's another good one to
mm-hmm.
follow.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm actually had to ration my insulin in my early 20s in college. I worked a retail job. I couldn't, they didn't have insurance for me because I was part-time. And I did the marketplace insurance, which was fine, but also it wasn't the greatest. And I rationed my insulin. One out of four diabetics do ration their insulin,
mm-hmm.
and it's not fun, and it's not a great place to be. It's it is food. Do I want to buy food when I go to the grocery store, or am I gonna use that to buy my insulin? And, you know, to me, insulin won. But, you know, that's really, really dangerous. It can make type 1s or any diabetic go into ketoacidosis, which is
mm-hmm.
a horrible, horrible thing.
Elizabeth, I know it's not good, but exactly what is it?
Ketoacidosis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much, ketoacidosis is what happens when your blood sugar gets very high when you don't have the insulin or a medication to bring it down. It literally sends proteins into your kidneys. It's actually the main cause of kidney failure. It's why many people go on a kidney dialysis. Actually,
mm-hmm.
It's really, really horrible. I've actually had it a few times. I've been to the emergency room with it, actually when I was rationing my insulin. So it's, if left untreated, it will
kill
you.
Oh, sure. That's her phone. It happens sometimes.
No, you're fine.
All right. Go ahead.
Yeah, but so pretty much, it's pretty much when your body just produces acid called ketones.
Mm-hmm.
And the ketones are what destroys your kidneys and your organs. And it is a horrible way to die. It's really awful. So.
Yeah, because I'm looking at it right now, diabetic ketoacidosis. And it's like, yeah, it's like she said, your body produces high levels of blood acids called ketones. The condition develops when your body can't produce enough insulin. So
pretty much that article you read of the people dying because they ration insulin is slow. It's a kind of a very slow, painful death.
Yeah, well, let's see. All right, here's the good news. I'm looking at the petition, and it says that 487,083 people have joined the American Diabetes Association in calling for action. I think I'm going to do that right now. So, let's see the front. Yeah.
I've got to turn that volume down.
But yeah, it's, I mean,
sorry about that.
Let's see. That's another one. Let's see. Everyone is at fault. With insulin prices skyrocketing, there's plenty of blame to go around. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. And this was actually posted on February 19th this year. So I'm finding some good information that, you know, that's really current, because it really has become it's a really serious situation. But let me see. There it is. Let's see. Oh, shoot. It won't let me unlock it. Never mind. It's one of those you have to sign up for types. I hate that.
Oh, I do too.
It's like if I ever want to look at the Washington Post, it's like I have to sign up for it.
Well, I subscribe to the Post on Kindle.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, here's something interesting out of the state of Minnesota, and this was actually posted yesterday. Let's see. Minnesota insurers try to address unhealthy cost of insulin in 2020. So now maybe this will wake. But yeah, this was posted just yesterday, so this is actually as close to getting up to date as you can. But anyway, Jolie Holland, a licensed school nurse in the Howard Lake Waverly Winstead School District in central Minnesota, prepares an insulin pen for an injection for a young student with diabetes at Winstead Elementary School on September 25th. I mean, that was the photo. Sorry about that. In 2019, Caitlin Block has paid as much as $552 a month to buy insulin, a drug she needs to stay alive. The 30-year-old Coon Rapids professional says her life isn't limited by the physical side effects of her type 1 diabetes, but the financial toll can be overwhelming. And I don't know why I got that ad popping up. Earlier this year, her blood glucose level spiked as her finances hit bottom, even though she had insurance the entire time. I lose hope that I will ever be financially stable, Block said.
Oh, no. Hello?
Hello?
Okay, two of us are here. Jan? Shirley?
Uh-oh.
This happens once in a blue moon, so it's a Blog Talk Radio thing. Jan?
Hey, she just
Shirley?
She sent me a message on Facebook. Shirley said she's going to call in.
And Jan got dumped also. Yep, Rick and I died for both of them.
Yeah, I actually had a hard time. That's why I'm on my phone, because it wouldn't let me log in through my computer.
I always call in from my phone whenever possible, so I don't ever get hit by this problem. Unfortunately, from time to time, that means situations like this occur where everybody but me gets dumped.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Elizabeth.
You're welcome.
Yeah. You sound bubbly.
Oh, me? Oh.
Yeah, you.
Thanks.
Yeah. I was
okay,
in a
I'm
bit
back.
Of a drop earlier today, so.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I'm back, too.
Well, welcome back, both of you.
Yeah.
Thank goodness I was on my phone and didn't get dumped,
too. Okay. I'm going to lay the phone down, you guys. I'll be back in a minute. Tell Shirley don't.
Shirley's already here. You can just
I'm here, damn it.
Shirley, I'm going to lay the phone down. Mom needs me.
Okay, go. Okay, I apologize for that. The right connect something. We were in the middle of something. Like, no! Just let me answer it.
Don't worry.
At least
I told Elizabeth all about it.
Okay,
yeah, at least
good.
I had Tim here. Because if it was just me, I don't know what I would have done.
The benefit of calling in instead of direct connect.
Yeah.
Not to say that it can't happen to me too, but it's going to be far rarer when that which determines whether
the phone.
I'm still connected is my device rather than Blog Talk Radio.
Right. That's why we're working on possibly changing the Spreaker soon.
Spreaker.
Yep, exactly. Well, anyway, let me see. Where was I? I was right here. Block is the kind of consumer Minnesota insurers had in mind when they announced huge cuts in out-of-pocket spending in 2020 on insulin. Such changes are about to get a lot of public scrutiny with enrollment for MNSure plans beginning November 1st, my birthday. People who buy individual or family coverage through MNSure or directly from Medica and UCare will have their out-of-pocket spending on each insulin prescription capped at $25 per month, regardless of yearly deductibles. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Minnesota announced covered insulin will be available at no charge at the pharmacy counter for MInsure and commercially insured members. Health Partners already offer some plans that cap insulin costs at $25, and there are plans to expand that soon. For an insurance company, it makes sense because you only make money off of flipping customers, said Annie Augustine, an insurance broker with healthinsurance.discount in Minneapolis. Also, if you have customers who need insulin but are not getting their regular dosage, that is going to lead to more complex health outcomes, and that is going to cost you more as an insurer. Now, there are no changes in store for Medicare and Medicaid recipients who buy insulin. The changes also don't apply to self-insured health plans, which include most larger employers, unless the company includes that benefit in their 2020 plans. Industry observers speculate that insurance companies are reacting to the rhetoric coming out of the Minnesota legislature about the unaffordability of insulin in recent years. In response to public anger over the fast-rising cost of insulin, Democrats and Republicans have crafted competing legislative proposals to reduce costs for people who are struggling. Minnesota lawmakers failed to pass an insulin cost relief bill this year after closed-door negotiations collapsed, but advocates have kept up the pressure to convene a special legislative session. The insurance companies watch the legislature as closely as anybody does, and I think they can read the political tea leaves, said Alan Baumgarten, an independent healthcare analyst in St. Louis Park. I think they're saying we're going to be on the right side of this issue. Insurance companies don't talk about their motives in those terms. Instead, they point to a little notice amendment in the state's most recent omnibus healthcare spending law offered by Senate Deputy Majority Leader Michelle Benson. The amendment, known to insurers as the state mandate on insulin, says it's illegal for Minnesota for insurers to take in more cash from members' out-of-pocket payments for insulin than the net price for that medicine negotiated by the insurer. In other words, insurers in Minnesota can no longer profit from selling insulin. The mandate is a recognition of secretive price inflation schemes behind widely used drugs such as insulin. As former Attorney General Lori Swanson explained last year, drug manufacturers have financial incentives to provide large rebates to pharmacy benefit managers, PBMs, which play a major role in deciding which drugs will be covered by insurance. Swanson said drug makers raise their list prices to inflate the sizes of their rebates to PBMs, and the PBMs in turn pass along part of their rebate profits to the insurers. People on high deductible insurance or Medicare may pay higher prices but not share in the rebates. Benson said strong government incentives also drive the rebate system because drug makers are required to provide rebates to the federal government in order to sell drugs into military health programs. Benson said those programs deserve as much scrutiny as PBM incentives because they do create the same perverse incentive to increase list prices. The consumer cost sharing for insulin is based on that list price, said Roger Feldman, University of Minnesota Emeritus Professor in Economics and Healthcare. So when the list prices are rising by leaps and bounds, consumers' out-of-pocket costs are going up proportionally. Regardless of the state spending controls on insulin, insurers say just changing the copays on insurance in Minnesota is not going to change the underlying economics. We are taking a financial risk with very thin margins, said Lisa Boyson, Director of Pharmacy Operations and Specialty Drug Management for Minnesota Blue Cross. This is not really a permanent solution. It is not sustainable. This burden of rising drug costs, it falls on everyone, including employers and taxpayers. And we just really still need to address the high cost of drugs set by the pharmaceutical companies. Consumers note that insulin is just one of many medical expenses imposed on diabetics. Block says she pays hundreds of dollars each month to use an insulin pump to treat her type 1 diabetes. Plus, she has to pay for disposable glucose monitors, test strips, and related equipment. Her insurance premiums and diabetes supplies for the first half of the year averaged $956 per month, more than her rent and car payment combined. Obviously, insulin is the most important part. I mean, if I don't have it, I die, Block said. I try hard to be positive and think about spending caps for 2020 as forward movement because it is. It just doesn't feel that awesome knowing that how much all of this stuff is around that I needed in order to effectively use the insulin. I will still pay hundreds of dollars a month. And that's the end of the article.
That's actually nice to hear that a state is doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, because other states look like they're beginning to catch on with this.
I mean, I really hope next year more of this gets some light because that's one reason why I made my, I made my cosplay because I wanted to recycle my diabetic supplies, because there's no recycle program for it.
Right.
And I thought it was really wasteful, all the plastic and everything that they use. You can only use it once. But that's actually, I really think this is going to be a topic for next year, especially for the election. At least I hope it is.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Because I just found this, this website called stateofobesity.org, and it tells about diabetes rate per state. And surprise, and here's a surprise. I was thinking, like, Alabama would be close to the top. No, though, the one with the biggest diabetes rate as of 2018 is West Virginia with 16.2%.
Wow.
Yeah, and then Alabama's number two with 14.5, Mississippi 14.3, Arkansas and Louisiana tied with 14.1, Tennessee 13.9, Kentucky 13.8, South Carolina 13.3. So you can tell a lot of the most diabetic states are around the Southeast. Because let's face it, everybody loves their fried food, fried chicken, you know, fried okra.
Well, I'm from Tennessee, so I am on, my state is on that list. So.
Yeah.
Come on, Cosmo.
Yeah, but I know Colorado's got that, Minnesota's doing that. You know, hopefully more states will catch on, particularly the ones that are the most prone to the diabetes.
Cosmo, there you go. Come on up.
Yes. Which, you know, I guess I need to look that up. You know, I don't know what.
I'm back.
Welcome back.
I'm back, you guys.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Mom needed me.
That's fine. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Oh, I was just wondering, now that you said that, I wonder if there's a graph somewhere for type 1 diabetics in states.
Well, that's a good question. I'm going to find that out, too. Let's see.
Oh, come on, your whiskers are tickling, dog. I have a dog that likes to lay down on my feet.
Oh.
And he's a licker. He is a licker. Oh.
Let me see. Worst time thing. I'm trying to get this right because it's not really helping me here. Okay, that's type 2 I already saw. I'm trying to find type 1. But for some reason, this is the biggest problem. I cannot find type 1 map, you know?
Huh.
All I thought is type 2s. We really need to work on that.
Yeah, that's it is also very, type 1, I guess this is, they're very different. They're both with the endocrine system, but type 1 diabetics, the difference is, and if it's okay for me to explain, type 1 is an autoimmune disease. So literally your pancreas cells get attacked that produce insulin. So your immune system kills that part of your pancreas, and you just stop producing insulin entirely.
Right.
And type 2, you're still able, it depends on where you are in your type 2. But I don't have type 2, so maybe you can explain it better than I can. But you produce insulin, but your body doesn't absorb it efficiently. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Yeah.
That's right.
I've seen a drug advertised on TV that makes your body use the insulin that it does produce.
I know what you're talking
about.
I know what you're talking about. I just can't remember the name of it. But they always say in those warnings, not for use with type 1 diabetes. So. And the good news, I found something that might actually help. I found a map and some information for states with the type 1 diabetes.
Oh.
I'm going to put that in both chats here. And if you go towards the bottom, it'll tell you exactly which state is the top. Believe it or not, the worst type 1 diabetes state is actually Vermont.
Hmm. Where does Arizona fit in? Where does Arizona fit in with that?
39.
How about Illinois?
Illinois, I'm going to look for it. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Number 31. Let's see. Tennessee. Let's find it. What? Tennessee is number 23. Alabama is number 11.
But if you look at Vermont, it's a rate of 79.6.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think I know why. All that maple syrup.
Oh, that is curious. Like, I wanted to read more into this, a study like this, what they think these states have more. I mean, type 1 is normally genetic, but mm-hmm. like I said, it does not run in my family at all. And I guess I should buy a lottery ticket because I have it.
Looks like if you look at Facebook chat, Mike and James Henry Ward are looking at the articles.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But let's see. Here's something else. They also have, like, how many people in states have it. The highest number, now this is back in 2015, Pennsylvania has 3,540. That's actually at the top. Let's see. Illinois has 2,360. Let's see. What can I find? Alabama, 1,110. Let's see. Where is Arizona? Come on, Arizona. Where are you?
Where do you live? Elizabeth, while she's looking.
She lives in Tennessee.
Oh. Yeah, Tennessee. No, East Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Tennessee.
I wasn't exactly paying attention to your planet of origin. State of origin when I sent the friend request. I was concentrating on something else.
Planet of origin. Oh, God.
I have to admit, I was focusing on a historian specializing in ancient Egypt. I think Elizabeth and I are going to get along.
Oh, yep. That
I
is,
love it. I love ancient history. So.
Oh, me too. I actually am leading a tour to Egypt next year, if you're interested.
I'm more Greece
sweet.
And Rome, but I do have some interest in Egypt, but mostly Greece and Rome. But some of does involve Egypt, too.
Well, a lot of their ruins are there, too. So, actually, one of my favorite temples is a Roman temple.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn it. There goes my foot again. Ouch.
Oh, my foot. Yeah.
Stone bruise. I think it's a stone bruise. It hasn't healed yet.
Oh, my.
Yep. Ouch. Yeah. But you know, it's you know,
Tennessee.
I'm glad that somebody recognized your costume. I mean, your cosplay, posted it on the Dragon Con official page. It's like, holy cow, that is an excellent cosplay, and the message got through crystal clear too.
Oh, I am really surprised. I think it got shared, at least from what I can count, at least 7,000 times. Which blows my mind because I was not expecting that at all. I wasn't, you know, I didn't do this to, but I did do it to spread the message.
Yeah.
And I think it did do that. I'm actually, well, you're part of the group on Facebook, but we're putting a group together of diabetics for Dragon Con next year. And I'm hoping we can get into the parade and making cosplays and costumes out of our diabetic supplies, not needles. Everyone always asks me where are the needles? I'm like, I didn't put those on my costume. Are you crazy?
I could do it.
Especially when you can get in trouble.
Make a cosplay.
I can make a cosplay where I look like a big size needle, but I still have a cap on. So
I see. I like that, Steve. but I'm hoping, you know, because this year it was so successful, just me, I hope the group next year we can even spread more awareness.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. Because, you know, but I'll tell you right now, next year being an election year, do not be surprised if there's a whole lot more political cosplays, too.
Oh, yeah, there always are at Dragon Con. They're very interesting.
I always love seeing the time for Thanos 2020 or something.
Anybody's got to be better than number 45.
Yeah, agreed. But you know, there was a picture from this past season of Supergirl. You got John Cryer, I forgot the actress's name, but it's Lex Luthor and Eve Testmacher in the White House. And I came up with this: Luthor Testmacher 2020. They really know what they're doing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but we're trying not to bring up politics, but, you know, I'm a Republican, and I'm sorry, I'm just not too fond of Donald Trump. So that's all I'm going to say on the matter. I'm not going to bring any more.
none of us are fans of him, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I don't know how
feel. Oh, I am not a Trump fan.
Well,
so.
You know what? At the beginning of this election, okay, she's a Republican. I'm a Democrat. Mm-hmm. Before Trump even got sworn into office, we agreed to disagree.
Yeah.
Without slamming, shaming, insulting, etc.
Right.
I wish more people could be like that.
You and
yeah,
me
it's
both.
Like, yeah, it's like me last year. I was helping with a local con we got here. And, you know, we were getting things set up. I took a lunch break. I sat down with artist Steve Bennett. He's part Japanese. And there were, like, four other guys. Like, I know there was at least one black, two were white, and one of them. I was sitting at this thing, too. We all just started having this great conversation. You know, there was no ill will, no cursing, no name-calling, nothing. We had an intelligent conversation.
Yeah. The neighbor across the street from us, he's really sweet, too. You know, and do we have anything else to say about the subject at hand before I get off on my tangent?
No, I think we're pretty much done.
Okay. What really gets to me is the fact of all the hate.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, I paraphrase a quote from Shakespeare. When we are cut, do we not all bleed red?
Mm-hmm.
You know. And if you want to learn about another race, another religion, ask a person about it.
Yeah.
8 times out of 10, they're more than happy to tell you about it. That's how I learned about the significance of the... Have you ever seen a woman from India and the jewel they have in the middle of their forehead?
Yes,
Okay, it means one of two things depending on the caste you're in over there. In one caste, the jewel is the equivalent of our cross, because they consider the forehead the center of the soul, and that's kind of like their equivalent of a cross. I had a different person tell me it's a sign that the woman is married. So...
Hmm.
It just depends, and I just went up politely and asked, and they were more than happy to tell me.
Well, and the same with religion, or even with me, my insulin pump, you know, I like it when people come up to me and ask me what it is. It does not offend me at all. I am part bionic. I think that's kind of cool. And
point taken there, my friend.
Yeah, so I really appreciate it when people come up and ask questions. I think it just solves a bunch of things instead of people thinking, you know, oh my gosh, you know, she's dying. What is that on her? You know, it's very nice.
One of our family friends has a son that's a diabetic, and he has an insulin pump. And he was sitting at the table, and he checked his sugar. And I think he needed to use the pump one time to give himself a shot of insulin. So, he pays attention to how his sugar fluctuates. But
yeah, and I know I attend a diabetes class once a month at Jackson Hospital, and one of the teachers, I think she's gone somewhere else now, but she has type 1 diabetes, and she also uses a pump. So,
oh, it's a lifesaver. It actually makes almost like you're a normal person. Almost.
You don't have to stop and say, excuse me, and go excuse yourself and go give yourself a shot in the bathroom.
No, which I did in high school, and I got bullied for it. It was not fun. But yes, the insulin pump almost makes me, I still like saying I'm bionic though. I think that's my cosplay. If you look at pictures of it, I'm supposed to be kind of bionic. That's where I got my inspiration.
I looked at your picture, and it looks like you have dreadlocks in that cosplay.
Yes, I made those.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of the dreadlocked alien in Predator.
I got a lot of inspiration from a bunch of movies. Actually, Predator was one. Repo, the Genetic Opera
was
one.
I was right.
let's see, Mad Max a little bit. Mad Max a little bit. Just
yeah,
so,
I got that Mad Max vibe. I did feel that Mad Max vibe out of that too.
See the Predator reference in there.
Yes.
Those dreads that reminded me of that.
Yeah, I thought that. Yeah. That's actually from a cosplay from a long time ago where I was a cave person, and I kind of recycled it to this costume from that.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
hey,
so
you're upcycling.
Yeah,
upcycling,
yeah.
Girl.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that whole costume was pretty much just recycled stuff anyways, so it works out.
Who cares? It worked.
Yeah, exactly.
It worked.
Yep. But
I
anyway,
have to get my voice down because my folks are still up.
Yeah.
Oh,
anyway, we're down to the last 2 minutes and 17 seconds, and I will not get the 90-second signal because I can't get into the host queue at this point. But I'm not going to worry about it.
You can't do the sound effect. You can't do the uncensored sound effect either. Can you?
Oh,
actually, no. No, I can still do that. I can still do that. In fact, I'll just go ahead and take care of that right now.
You motherfucker, I almost had him. I had him. I almost had him. You stuttering prick, you.
Shut up! Yeah, but anyway.
That's what's from Talking Tunes, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. I'm starting to read Rob Paulson's book, Voice Lessons. I love the book already.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway.
I can get it on.
Yeah,
Kindle.
Before we go on, Elizabeth, thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Yeah, hey, come back if you have the time. Come back again any day of the week.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, thank
but especially
you all.
Come
thank
back
you.
On Friday.
Yeah,
oh, that sounds
come
like
back
fun.
On Friday, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, thank you all.
You're welcome. All right, well, anyway, we're going to wrap things up by saying please remember to follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and follow us at our website, beyondtheairwaves.weebly.com. If you ever miss an episode, there are three ways you can catch up. First, there's the Stitcher.com app available on iTunes, Google Play, and the Amazon Kindle Store. Second, you can listen to or download full episodes of the show from blogtalkradio.com. And finally, you can find us on iTunes. Just do a search on the podcast for Beyond the Airwaves, and you'll find many of our episodes there. So, with that in mind, I'm going to say love, peace, and chicken grease. Everybody have a great night. Sleep well, stay safe, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday free-for-all.
And, Elizabeth, that is a good
yes.
one, too. We hit all our rant rocket articles.
Oh, yeah, we have some good rant
rockets. You're welcome back anytime.
Oh, well, thank you all for having me again. This was fun. And like I said, I will come back. Just invite.
All right.
Terrific.
All right. You were a pleasure.
Oh, well, thanks. You all, it was all nice to meet you all. This is awesome. And I'll definitely
nice
be following
you
all in
too.
The future.
Nice to meet
right.
you, too.
Yeah, we're glad you came on board.
Oh, thanks right. for having me again.
You're welcome.
I have an erupting volcano on my feet. My dog
oh
is
my.
Snoring. My dog is snoring.
All right, well, since I've already,
yeah.
played that first one earlier, I might as well go ahead and get to the second one if I can find it. Where are you, Groot? There it is.
I'm Groot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Groot.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
I'm Groot.
Oh, shit!
Somebody grab that fucking little twig.
Yeah.
That's my tagline on that one.
And finally, for the last one, I'm going to play probably one of my favorite lines and one that's so important nowadays.
Freedom is the right of all sentient beings.
Can I request another one in place of the first one since we had
yes.
already done it? Can
uh-huh.
we have number 45, please?
All right, let's go with this one.
We are going to make America great again.
No. Mm-mm. No. 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 Hell no. No. No.
Oh my gosh, that's great. Oh,
yeah, right. All kinds of good ones like that.
All right, well, guess what? It's time to wrap things up for the night. Everybody have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow. And Elizabeth, you can come back anytime you want.
Oh, well, thanks. Thanks again. Nice meeting you all.
All right, everybody have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Jenna.